Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shkolim. Mishnah Zayin continues the list of Rabbi Shimon's seven takanos, which were Tznai Bezdin, which were takanos with regard to the use of public funds. So takana number five is Al HaMelech V'Al HaEitzim Sheyihu HaKohanim Neyosim Bahem. The salt used to salt the karbanos, because every karban gets salt, Al Kol Karbanu Chatarkiv Melech, and the wood used to burn the karbanos, they were, of course, purchased with public funds, obviously, because they're part of the karbanos. However, Chazal made a takana that the Kohanim, who are, after all, in the Beis HaMikdash working all the time, they should be permitted to use the salt to season their parts of the karban, right? Because parts of the karbanos are eaten by the Kohanim. And in particular, chatasin and asham, kochi kadashim, that are eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. So the meat that is eaten in the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohanim, they should be permitted to use the salt to salt, the salt of the Beis HaMikdash, public funds salt, to salt their meat. So they could eat it nice and, to taste it, to season it. And furthermore, that they should be allowed to use the wood for two purposes. One, to cook this meat that we're talking about, the meat that has to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. They are allowed to use the tzibur's wood to burn it, to cook it, rather, and also to heat the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad is a fairly large room on the edge of the Beis HaMikdash, which is basically the dorm. The Kohanim would come to the Beis HaMikdash twice a year, during their mishmar, when it's their section of the Kohanim's, when it's their mishmar's turn, and during that time they would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash basically on the stone platforms, because the floor is marble and stone, and everything is quite cold, right? Stone and marble, especially in the winter in Yerushalayim, but even in the summer it can be cool sleeping on a stone slab. And so this Beis HaMokad would have a large bonfire, in the middle of the room to kind of heat the room so that the Kohanim wouldn't freeze overnight. They were allowed to use, so part of this takana is they were allowed to use the wood that is purchased with public funds for the burning of Karbanos. They were allowed to use that wood also to heat the Beis HaMokad, where the Kohanim are sleeping. Number six is a two-step takana, like number four, where the halacha was a particular way, min haTorah, Chazal changed it for a reason, and then they changed it back. And so it's a two-step takana. The para aduma, right, the red cow, is purchased from Trumas HaLishkar. It's purchased from the Shkalim. We discussed that back when we were talking about the uses of the Shkalim and the Trumas HaLishkar. And like other kudshim, if someone used it for personal use, he would be chayav me'ila. Me'ila is a misuse of holy funds, of holy objects. And that means that he would have to pay for it, plus a 25% penalty, and he would have to bring a karban, asham, an asham me'ilos. However, the halacha is that once the para has been burned and turned into ash, right, which of course that ash would then be put into water and sprinkled on a person who is Tamei Meis to purify him. So at that point, there is no more chiyuv of me'ilah. This is learned from a pasuk, and this is a halacha from the Torah, that once the cow has been burned and turned into ashes, there is no isser of me'ilah with the ashes of the para, only with the cow itself. But once it is burned into ashes, there's no more me'ilah. So what happened? The Chazal saw that people started to, because the Para Aduma works in this mystical way, right? Your tummy mace, and you get sprinkled with the Para Aduma, and suddenly you are spiritually purified. Right? Not suddenly, it takes a week, but you're spiritually cleansed. And people started to attribute all kinds of other healing properties to the Para Aduma, to the Efer Para. And so they would take the ashes of the Para Aduma and they would put it on their wounds, and they would put it on their broken arms and legs, because it would they attributed all kinds of mystical healing properties to this Efer Para, which is, of course, not what it does. And so therefore, Chazal made a takana that there should be me'ila, midrabanan, for using Efer Parah. And therefore, anybody who uses the Efer Parah would be chayav me'ila. So that was the original takana. However, that generated a different problem. The Kohanim, who were responsible for sprinkling the Parah Aduma water, ashes water, right, on the people who were Tameh, they stopped using the Efer Parah for cases of Safek Tumah. If someone was uncertain if they were Tameh Mace, so the halacha really is that we should sprinkle them with this Parah Aduma because they have to be treated as if they're Tameh. Because we can't have them eating karbanos or going to the Beis HaMikdash while they might be Tameh. And therefore, they have to be sprinkled with Parah Aduma. However, the Kohanim would refuse to sprinkle the Parah Aduma on them. Because, reasoned the Kohanim, I guess correctly, that if there is an Isser Me'ila attached to the Parah Aduma ashes, and the Kohanim sprinkle it on somebody who is not actually Tameh, so then they would be Chayav Me'ila. Because they used the Parah Aduma water for a purpose that had nothing to do with its Kachim purpose. They thought maybe it would, but it was a Safek. And therefore they refused to use the Parah Aduma ashes to sprinkle on somebody who wasn't Vaday Tameh, who was only a Tameh Safek. And so therefore, Chazal made a part two to Takana. And that is in our list. V'al HaPara, the ashes of the Parah Aduma, shelo yehu ma'alim ba'afra, that there is no me'ila attached to the ashes of the Parah Aduma. So midoraisa, there is no me'ila. The Chachamim instituted me'ila d'rabanan, and now they made another takana to withdraw the me'ila d'rabanan, and so this takana that we're talking about in our Mishnah is reverting. They made the takana to revert back to the d'oraisa, that the ashes of the Parah Aduma have no me'ila. And takana number seven, we learned back in Perek Vav, Mishnah, that one of the shofaros, one of the charity boxes in the Beis HaMikdash, was for people who needed to bring a pair of bird karbanos, right? A yoledes, or a zava, or a zav. And this pair of bird karbanos would need to be one ola and one chatas. So this bin existed, so they wouldn't have to actually go buy the birds and bring them. They would put the specified amount of money into the bin, and then not worry about it. The Kohanim would take that money, and they would buy lots of birds, and they would make one ola and one chatas for each person who put in the money. So what, though, happens if the korban turns out to be pasul? If the bird is a trefa, or if the kohen makes a mistake during the avoda, and the animal is pasul, so that the people who put in the money would never even know. So they would theoretically have to bring a new korban, but they wouldn't even know about it, so they would never even think about it. So what we do? What do we do? So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana, and this is takana number seven. V'al hakinin hapsulos, the bird korbanos that turn out to be pasul, Sheyihu ba'os mishel tzibur, that the replacements for these bird karbanos that turn out to be pasul come from Trumas Alishka, that the tzibur pays for it. Because after all, we set up this system where people put in the money and go away, and therefore we have a responsibility to make sure that we take care of them, that they're actually yotzei. If they use the system properly, they should be yotzei. And the tzibur has an obligation to take care of that. And that was takana number seven. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says that's not the takana. The takana is quite different. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ha mesapik es akinin, mesapik es apsulos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the takana is that the supplier of the birds must replace any psulos. Not only animals that were trefos, the birds which were trefos, which is really, so to speak, conceptually his fault, because he sold the Beis HaMikdash a faulty animal, a bird, but even those that got lost. You know, they started to bring the carbon and the bird flew away. Or they became otherwise pusle during the process. So even those animals, the supplier of birds is obligated to replace them. That's the takana. That the supplier of birds has to replace any carbonos psulim. even those that were probably not his fault. We've discussed previously that that doing business with the Beis HaMikdash is probably a very, very good thing for you spiritually, but financially, it's not a good business decision, because you're always Yad Ha'al HaTachtona. HaMikdash always wins, and you always lose. And so you would not make money, as we see here. You would get paid for supplying one set of birds or 10 sets of birds, but in the end you could end up supplying 12 or 13 or 14 sets of birds for that same money, because you are responsible for replacing anything that goes bad.